Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Father, that your word is life to all our flesh. And I thank you, Lord God, that you have given us this word. Father, we so desire to hear your voice, every single one of us. What an awesome thing, just to even hear it audibly. But Father, you are always talking to us, and we need to tune in to that voice so that we can be led always in the right direction and the path and the goal and the plans that you have for us, that we can maintain our course. And just like Paul said, we look forward. We look forward. Now, we're not supposed to look behind, and we need to know what that forward is and what that will is for us. And I thank you, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit here is the teacher this morning. And Holy Spirit, you're going to teach us how to hear the Father's voice, because that's what you're here for. You're our teacher. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to give us some awesome revelation this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Now, last week we talked about that God has a specific plan. So those of you who are not here, I'll try to make some tapes next week. And if you want to hear some of that first one, it's good to hear, because what I like to do is I like to build on a foundation. And if you don't think God's got a plan for you, what's the sense in even hearing his voice? It's no big deal. You just think you can go day by day doing whatever. But God has a specific plan for us. And it's important that you know what that plan is and accomplish that plan. You know, a lot of us like to jump into somebody else's roadmap and go for their plan. And, oh, gee, I wish I could be them, and I wish I could do that, and I wish, and I wish, and I wish. But God says, you know, I've created you specifically for a purpose that I have in mind for you from before the foundation of the world. He knew we would be here, and he designed a specific plan for us. So that's kind of what we talked about last week. And because I wanted to raise your faith level just to believe that there's a specific purposes. Our God is a very specific God, and he has specific things for us to do. He's not general out there, you know, and we're all one big conglomerate. No, we're individuals. And he looks at us each as an individual with a specific plan and a specific purpose and a specific walk. Specific gifts, talents, personalities. Our fingerprints are not even, you know, my husband works in forensic type stuff, and there's not one fingerprint that's the same. We're so unique. God has created such uniqueness in us. Well, if our bodies are unique, well, so is our spirit, our soul, our personalities. Nobody's like my personality out there. I'm unique. There's nobody like your personality. You're unique. And so even the plan and the purposes he has is unique and designed specifically for you, for your personality, for your talents, your gifts that he's given you, and you got things you got to do. Well, how do you find out what those things are? We have to know and be sensitive to the Spirit of God and what he's telling us to do so we can know what those plans are. I don't think we need to just go a hit and miss through life. That's not the way God planned it. We're not to do a hit and miss. And as we spend time with the Father and worship him, listening to his voice, we know what we're supposed to be doing. We're always led by truth, by his word. And so this morning, what I want to do is give you a couple keys to hearing God. You know, because a word, just one word from God can change everything in your life. If you know, without a questionable doubt, you heard God, you know what? You won't easily quit when the going gets tough, because you know you heard God, you know he said to go in this direction, and you'll be faithful to follow through on that. It gives you that hope inside you that you can make it through whatever trial and testing and things that you're going through now, knowing that I heard God. God said to go this way, and it doesn't matter what kind of obstacles. He said it. That's final. It settles it. So when you know you heard God, you can plow through mountains. You can say to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it will obey because you know you heard from God, and God said to do it. And so, you know, the enemy is not going to just let you walk the course that God has for you. He's always putting obstacles and pitfalls in your way. That's his job. That's what he's here for, okay? I mean, gosh, and he's so good at it. But we don't need to have him that good at it in our life, okay? When he throws those things in, all we can do is command them to get out of the way or jump over them, or whatever, or go around them. But we're supposed to command those obstacles to get out of our way because we're on a mission from God. Some of you got that piece of paper last week that I gave. It was, some of you probably didn't even know what it was. You thought that was probably one of the things to have for the class. But it was this guy who had a vision from the Lord. So if you read it, you'll understand what that was all about. But God has specific things for us, and we're on a mission here. You know, we're aliens. we have invaded planet Earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how do you know when God is talking to you is the question that we all ask. I mean, has anybody not asked that? How does God speak? You know, because I have asked that many times, because there's different ways that he speaks to us. And next week, we're really going to go into deeper into the different ways that he speaks. Right now, I just want you to have some keys to make sure that you're following these specific things. Then you'll know that you're going to be able to hear from God. And so we do need to be trained, believe it or not. We do need to be trained to hear from God. Just not going to come just through osmosis or something, you know, but you need to be trained. Now, God can divinely, don't do that, you know, and you can audibly hear his voice. But you know what, you know how rare that is? That's kind of rare. That's not real, it's not the popular thing. He doesn't have to do that anymore because he gave us a born-again spirit, and he resides in us. And so, you know, Jesus didn't need that, I think, twice. I think the Bible talks about that the Lord heard the voice of God when he was baptized, right? And then at the transfiguration. I don't know if there's another time that the Bible says that you actually heard the voice of God, or Jesus heard the voice of God. Most of the time, it was inside. It was this small, still voice on the inside of him. And so we're going to teach you how to listen to that voice, too, and that's down the road. But anyway, so our text is John. Go to John. Chapter 10, and let's read 26 and 27. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And that is so powerful because of the sheep. According to the scripture, sheep hear the voice. If you're a sheep, you should be hearing the shepherd's voice. And if you're not hearing it, we're going to fine-tune you in this series so that you can hear it, because you're meant to hear it, okay? You're meant to hear it. It's hard to hear the shepherd's voice, though, a lot of times when we've left the flock. You know what happens a lot of times, I've noticed, that people jump from church to church to church to church to church. It's like they want to go from this shepherd's flock to this shepherd's flock to this shepherd's flock. And, you know, part of hearing the voice of God is knowing the credibility of your pastor, to know when he speaks something that you're actually hearing, because the Lord will actually speak through your pastor too. And one of the things I want to encourage people is stop jumping around. You need to get stable and stability. You need to stay within the flock that God has called you to and stay there. Get stability, because that you're going to find in the stability and the roots, you're going to know when God is speaking. You're going to be able to hear his voice instead of jumping around all the time. They jump from herd to herd and they can't recognize the shepherd's voice because they're not used to him, you know, and because our God does speak through our shepherds here, and we need to be faithful because God will speak through Pastor Wolfson or whoever, anybody in the future that's hearing the series that's not from our church. And so, but you must believe God the Father wants to speak to you. You must believe it. If you do not believe it, it's not going to happen. Faith is the key emphasis on hearing God. You have to believe that you'll actually hear him. Because why would he want to speak to you if you don't even think that it's, you know, when he talked to you, you wouldn't think it was him anyway. Because if you don't believe he talks to you, what's the sense? Do you see what I'm saying? So faith is a master key. So he desires to speak to us, and he desires for us to hear him. And whether you know it or not, you're not practicing, you have to practice hearing it. You have to go back. When you know you heard God, go back and analyze. Now, what did that voice sound like? What did I feel inside my spirit, my heart, when I heard that and I knew that it was God? What did it feel like on the inside of me? What did my spirit say? Because God speaks the same way to us. He speaks in different manners, but it's the same God. Do you see what I'm saying? And so when you know you've heard from God, analyze that a little bit. Now, why did I recognize that was God? What were some specific characteristics of it? Do you see what I'm saying? Specific characteristics that you knew it was God. And so the master key is faith. The Bible's filled with, this is cool because it's filled with dreams and visions, miracles, actually supernatural experiences. Our God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. He can do anything. And if you read the book of Acts, you saw God in action. Big time action. Where has that gone today? We've lost it, haven't we? And he wants us. God wants and expects us to expect him to perform all these things on our behalf. God is still working. It's our problem. Why is he not working with the miraculous in our life? You know why? Because we've been taught not to have those life events, those supernatural experiences. You know, no. You know, God doesn't work that way anymore. But my Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the book of Acts was after Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? That's our generation. And he did miraculous. Listen to the book of Acts sometimes. I'll tell you what, get that on CD or tape and just listen to it over and over and over again. And that will help build your faith to believe that he'll work like that on your behalf too. Because it was amazing things that happened in the book of Acts. Most of us have never had an Acts experience. We've never had any supernatural thing happen to us. We've never had an experience with God that was miraculous, like a healing, or we hear him audibly, or have an angelic encounter right in front of us. We see the angels of God. We're able to see into the spirit realm. We haven't had an angel tell us to do this or do that. Well, these are the kinds of things that they were doing back there in Acts. I mean, the angels were going and rescuing Peter out of jail. I mean, why can't they do that for us if they did it for them? You know why? Because they believed it. They expected God to act like that, and God did. Whatever you expect God to do, he will do. As your faith rises up, it will happen. In every chapter except 17 in the book of Acts has an example or a reference to the supernatural revelatory communication of God to his people. All but chapter 17. Every single chapter has something that God did miraculously to his people. Somehow he got something across to his people, whether it was through an angel, whether whatever. It was something that he did in the book of Acts. So for me, I love, when I want to get into the supernatural, I want to just think on the supernatural, I go to the book of Acts because I can see God in action there through dreams and through visions, through encounters with the angels, through Jesus himself showing up. And people have had that happen to them too. This young boy that I am praying for every week, he had Jesus come to him. He came to him, and he never knew what Jesus looked like because he became a Christian, but he didn't get into the Word of God yet because he was bedridden. He couldn't move. He was totally paralyzed. His bed laying flat on his, and God gave me a prophetic dream and showed me go into his place, and every time I would go and pray for him, he would be healed a little bit more and a little bit more each time. Something new had happened. So now he's to the point where it's been since October I've been doing this. Now he's to the point where he can get in a wheelchair, and he's pretty soon, within the next couple months, he'll probably be able to come to church. He's been off his respirator for 4 hours, in a wheelchair for 4 hours one time. Last October, he was totally paralyzed. Well, Jesus came to him. So did many angels come, and they were warrior angels saying, "We're protecting you." He saw the flaming swords and everything. And I said, "What did Jesus look like?" And this is before he knew. And he explained Jesus in Revelation. His eyes were like fire coming out of him, he said. His hair was white. It seemed like he was like really gray or white, you know. And I mean, he was explaining this. He was explaining what Revelations taught. And you know what Jesus said to him? Anybody want to know? Some of you already know because you've already heard this before. But he said, "Don't fear. Just call out my name." That's what he said. "Don't fear. Just call out my name." See? Perfect love casts out fear. God wants us to have perfect love. And so these are the kinds of encounters that people have. They really are happening. This boy gets saved and he just figures, well, you know, what the heck? I believe that kind of stuff. And they show up. And so they'll show up. If you want to see an angel, God will show you an angel. Just ask him. Just expect it. I think I see demons when I see angels. But that's because I need to come against the demonic realm because God's opening my eyes up to people, to see things on them. You know, when he chooses to do that, it's the discerning of spirits. But these are gifts. These are active gifts that God gives his church. And we need to know when something is happening in somebody's life, what kind of spirit's on them so you can rebuke and command it to leave. And so God has to show you into the spirit realms. You know how we have senses, we have touch, taste, we see, we feel. We have five senses that are physical. Well, guess what? Your spirit man has senses too. You have spiritual ears. You have spiritual eyes. And so God will show you things in the spirit. As you believe, though, you have to believe. I remember a guy who he got saved, and the gift that God gave him was the discerning of spirits, because he was saying, hey, this is great. I want to, you know, he read the book of Acts or something, and he says, hey, this is cool. I think I'm going to be a Christian too, because I want to see all this stuff. You know what? He thought that was normal for Christians to see. So as soon as he got saved, he saw all this stuff all the time. He saw demons and angels all the time. You'd see them constantly, all over the place. He could tell you to a T what they look like. He would describe the different things that they were wearing and all. And he thought, this is so cool, until somebody said, you see them? He goes, you mean you don't? He thought everybody did. He thought all Christians saw these things. Hey, this is cool being a Christian. So that's where his expectation was. And so our expectation, if we have that expectation that we can see into the spirit realm and we can see angels and we can have these divine supernatural encounters, guess what? You're going to have them. And you know what? It takes faith. And it's step by step. The more you believe, the more you put these things in front of you, the more you read the book of Acts, the more you meditate on the book of Acts and all these supernatural encounters, the more faith rises up in you and saying, well, gosh, if they had those, why can't I? But anyway, I'd say if Acts represents abnormal Christianity and our Western Christianity is supposed to be normal, give me the abnormal. How about you? Yes. I say never be content with God, your present experience with God. Don't be content with your present experience with God. Always thirst for more. Now, God says to be content with material possessions. Whatever God has given us, we should be thankful for and be blessed with what we have, but never with an encounter, an experience with God. We should always want more of Him. Every day, like that song said, all I want to know is more of you. All I want is more of you, to know more of you. And that's part of what is going to raise our faith level. What happens in Revelation 3, where He came to Laodicean church? He was the lukewarm church. You know what? They were content with their present day experience with God. They were content. And God said, you know what you are? You're lukewarm. You know, and you know what I'm going to do with you? I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth because you make me sick. Have you ever had just warm something, not hot, not cold, and you drink it and your coffee got kind of lukewarm, kind of, you know, it's like, ugh, this doesn't taste good anymore. I want my hot tea or my hot coffee. You know, it's not the same. And that's what is. When we get lukewarm with God, it makes Him sick to His stomach. You want to get God sick? There. But anyway, everything operates by faith. And so faith is the necessary ingredient to hear His voice. And that's why I'm stressing that you all have to start believing that God wants to give you these encounters. You have to believe that God wants to speak to you in dreams, that He's actually telling you things in your dreams, that you can have these open visions. I expected when I had my foster children, they were so messed up inside that I expected God to show me what was going on. The things that they were doing, I expected God to tell me. And in fact, I actually expected them with my own children too. And I said, I'm not omnipresent, God, but you are. So I need to know what's going on in their lives so that I can direct them and correct them. I am humbling myself before you. You see all. You are everywhere. There's nothing too hard for you. You can give me an open vision. You can give me a dream. You can speak to my spirit. You can tell me, give me strong impressions that they're out there drinking, you know, or whatever. And you know what? He did just that. Many, many times. Now, I'm sure He didn't show me everything. He probably thought I would have gone goofy, you know, crazy. If I known every, you know, if we know everything our children do, it would be really hard. but He told me the significant things, the things that I can pray for and that I needed to come head on to them. And I remember when the foster kids came to our home, my son went up to them and said, I want to tell you right now, I'm going to kind of tell you a few things here before you get real comfortable. If you think you're going to get away with anything, you're crazy. I'll tell you right now, God tells her everything. And so I expected God to do that. I expected God to do that. What you expect is what you will get. If you expect dreams, then you will get dreams. If you expect visions, that God will give you open visions about people, and he does that to me all the time. He actually, you know what? He's actually giving me dreams of some of the people in this church, maybe some of you. And he shows me things that are happening so I can pray you through a certain situation that you're at. One, he's actually told me to tell this person a couple weeks ago what was going on, and I said, this is what's happening, this is what the Lord says, and I'm shocked. She goes, oh my goodness, that's exactly what's happening. And I said, then God said, don't worry about it. He's got your kids covered. He's going to alarm you if these people come near your children. He will give you, he'll have bells and whistles go off, and you will know. And she is exactly what she was concerned about, somebody. And so, see, that God will do that for you if you believe it. But you have to expect him. Our expectation of God is too low. Our God is not a big God in Western Christianity. In this country and other European countries, our God is so small. I remember when I was going to Cuba, there was a book Victor, he was the head of our organization that we went to Cuba, and he showed me this book, and he says, look, Ginny, and I opened it up, and of course it was in Spanish, but I got the point. And he told me what it meant, you know, the one sentence. But there was a big hand, and this little girl, she just stood right there on this big hand, and she was looking up and saying something, and what she was saying was, wow, Daddy, I didn't know you were that big. And you know what? That's where our concept needs to be toward our Father, toward our God. We need to be looking at him and say, wow, Daddy God, I didn't know you were that big. We need to get to see him as big as he is. I think it's going to take all eternity, but we need to believe. And so we need to have the faith of the Son of God. Galatians said, 2:20, it says that we will to live by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, the same faith that Jesus had, we are to have. So we need to increase our faith to believe like Jesus did. And so to hear God, it requires that faith. I'm sorry, it requires faith to believe you will hear from God. So time to increase your faith. The things that could happen to you in your life, if you didn't get a word from God, it could be a catastrophe. Something around the corner and you don't know about, if God can't warn you, God is warning you. It's just that you can't hear it. You didn't perceive it. He told it to you in a dream, but you, like this, the parables when Jesus told, they're symbolic. They're parables, and they had to ask him later, what did that mean? We don't understand what that parable. Okay, the word was the seed. And he'd go and explain it all. Well, you know what? He speaks that way in dreams, too. That's how he speaks in dreams. Very rare. If you get a dream that's so clear that you know exactly what to do, is more of a vision. Because visions are clearer than dreams are. He's very specific because it's so important that you understand that whatever's happening. So what he will do, he will give you a vision that's very clear. He gave me a vision at night while I was laying down, and I was in a half sleep, and he showed me a box, a metal box, hidden in the attic behind the insulation. And then he let me look through the box. And I saw something that I was not happy, because I had three boys that I was raising. And there were things in there that should not have been in there. And you could just imagine. And I went to my son and I said, you have a box of such and such. It's in a metal box. It's in that attic over there, behind that wall, behind the insulation. I mean, his eyes got as big as saucers. And he goes, how did you know that? You know, I mean, he didn't deny it. He couldn't even deny it because it was so shocking. And I said, the Lord showed it to me in a vision. And I said, now you get that box out of there and you get rid of that stuff, you know? And so those are the kinds of things that I expect from my Father. And he meets my expectations. And you know what? He's been meeting yours all along too. So what you have to do is ask, where are your expectations? Is your God the little God? Or is your God that big God that little girl saw in her hand when she was sitting in the hand of her father? We need to increase our bigness of God. And so, if you don't believe it's the will of God to hear him, then you must deal with that unbelief. I'm serious. You need to deal with that unbelief. You need to get into the Word of God, because it will hinder your ears from hearing if you don't believe, if you have that unbelief. You need to extract it out. You need to rise up. You need to expect, and without expectation, it'll never be fulfilled. People are sick and in poverty because they don't expect to be delivered from it. They don't expect to be delivered from it. You know, the Word of God gives hope of expectation. He said, the psalmist even said, "Let me not be ashamed of my hope." Well, God said you won't be ashamed of your hope because hope comes after faith. If you have faith, you're entitled to hope. And hope gives you expectation, okay? And God will never let you be ashamed of your hope. If you truly believe that, and you have the faith to believe that God will talk to you, God will allow you to hear him. But you know what? You have to go after him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love him and go after him. You have to go after him with a thirst that can't be quenched. A thirst that can't be quenched. It's like, I got to have more. And the more you have of him, the more you want. You know why? Anybody wonder why? You would think that he would just satisfy you and that would be enough. Because he does say he satisfies us. But what happens is the more you know of him and about him, and you know him, the more you want to know. Because he's just taken you to a deeper level of experience and revelation, and you're like in awe of it. Why do you think the holy angels are up there, the seraphim? They're over there, and they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And they're not saying it to him. They're saying it to each other. If you notice it, they're saying it to each other. It's because they're getting a new revelation of God. He's probably revealing a new revelation that they just experienced, and they're like, "Wow, holy is the Lord." And then the other one goes, "Yeah, yeah, holy, holy." You know, and that's what happens. And the more you know God, not just know about him, but know him, you get to know him, the more you want to be with him, the more you thirst after him, the more you desire him. And that's where God is trying to get us to. You're wasting your time. Well, actually, you're wasting his time if you don't believe. You really are. He wants you to believe. And you have to expect him to believe. A lot of times, there's never anything wrong with the transmission. Okay? When God is speaking, he speaks. He's a talking God. There's never anything wrong with the transmission. It's the receiver that's not tuned in. We're the receiver. Our ears are the receiver. We're the ones not tuned in. So we need to tune into WORD. Okay? Word. Get that channel tuned in and you'll be able to hear the Word of God speaking to you. You know, this is the same with people. The more you spend time with people, so, say a person, the more you get to know them. And that's why I say it's really important that you have to spend time with God alone. There's so many of us. Well, I'm going to read the Word. Read it. Okay. I got my three chapters in that I said I was going to do today. And you go off and do your own thing. Well, if you don't sit still for a little bit and let God speak to you through what you just read, you're not going to spend, you know, how do you get to know somebody unless you spend time? And it's a two-way conversation. When there's a crowd of people and they're all yelling and talking and everything, and they're all yelling out my name, do you know the name, the voice that I will recognize if my husband was in the crowd? My husband's voice. Because I spend more time with him than anybody else. That's the one that will actually ring out over all the other voices. Oh, that's my husband. I heard him. The same with God. There's a lot of voices in this world. There's a lot of transmission going on, you know? There's a lot of stuff in this. There's all kinds of voices. There's the voice of your flesh speaking to you. There's the voice of the demons speaking to you. And there's the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's the voice of people. There's lots of voices, lots of advice. Our flesh, you don't want to take the advice of your flesh. You don't want to take the advice. But you don't even want to take the advice of your friends if they're not one with God. You got to be careful there. And so the one voice you do want to hear is God, because he's perfect. And he already knows the plan, because he's the one who created the plan for you. So he knows what you should be doing. And we need to learn how to tune out everybody and focus on him. And as you spend time with him, just like my husband and I'll hear his voice over anybody else's. That's the one that, even though I might recognize Richard's voice or Sandy's voice or Bev's voice, I might recognize them, but the one that's I'm going to be zeroed in on is my husband, because he's the one I spend time with. He's the one that I have intimacy with. He's the one that is part of my life, you know, that I love deeply. And so he's the one that I'm going to focus. Where's my husband? I know he's in there somewhere. I hear him. And that's where God was saying, with all these voices, all this transmission going, I'm speaking too. But because of all the hustle and bustle of the world, and boy, I'll tell you, we're living in a world that's, I mean, if you haven't figured it out yet, this world gets you going a mile a minute or more. I mean, you feel like sometimes you're on the speed of light, going from one place and doing one thing. It's crazy. And we need to sit still and allow God to speak to us, because he's the voice we need. We need his voice. So how do you cure an evil heart? Hebrews 3:12. Let's go over there. Hebrews 3:12. Because we have to take care of this evil heart of unbelief first. 3:12. Let's start with 3:11. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And here we see that Israel had a heart of unbelief. They stayed in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief. Do you know, during the course of those 40 years, God was constantly trying to speak to them and get them to where they were supposed to be, and they would not listen? They had an eatable heart of unbelief. They would not believe God. They would not believe him. That's why God had to wipe out that generation and bring in the next generation, because they would not believe. And so here, God can't do anything with you while you're in unbelief. So I say get belief. And how do you get belief? You have gates in your body, on your body. You have gates. And you have to use those gates to get unbelief out and get belief in. And they're your ear gates and your eye gates and your mouth gates. These are all gates that enter into the soul, enter into your spirit. And they're the gates. They're the same gates that you got unbelief in you. Okay? And they're the same gates you need to use to get belief in. And what we've heard all our year, the years that we've been of, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't have, and can't. And we don't expect anything. And unfortunately, for many, many years, we've been in churches that say God doesn't talk today. They teach that in the seminaries. Did you know that? A lot of seminaries, they teach that God doesn't talk that way anymore. Not like he did in the Old Testament. He doesn't talk that way. But I think they forgot that scripture that said that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know. I guess they miss, you know, God. If God doesn't change, then what he did then, he'll do today. See, they expected it. We don't in the church today. We don't. We don't expect the manifestations of God. We don't expect the glory cloud to come down and encompass us as we're praising and worshiping God. We don't expect an angel to show up. I mean, when I was at that church two Sundays ago, and I saw this mist coming, and it wasn't the great, I mean, it wasn't real strong, but it was something. I mean, I knew that God's presence was there. And then he allowed my spiritual eyes to see those angels walking up and down those rows. They were only silhouettes. I did not see the full manifestation of what each one was wearing, but they were silhouettes, and they were just walking. One would walk this way, and the next aisle they would walk. It was a number of them in each row. And so, but see, when you expect God to be doing things like that, he will. When I sat down, when I finished preaching, as it was preaching in the name of Jesus, and I said, Jesus, your name is powerful. You're able to minister to every single person in this room. You are so powerful. I believe that. And if you want to use me, that's great. I would love to be used to minister to everybody in this room. And as I walked from the pulpit to go sit down over here, all of a sudden I felt like I walked into another dimension. I mean, it was the strangest thing. It was like not me anymore. And I sat down and I started shaking. I'm like, oh my goodness, something's happening here. And then I heard the Lord's voice very clear. And he was saying, Ginny, I am going to minister to them through you. And you're not going to have to say much. He says, I just want you to go and I want you to touch every single person there. And then the ministry will start. Just touch them. I'm going to part the power of my name of my son in each of them. And they won't forget this day what they heard from the pulpit. And that just, I was so in awe of the whole thing that that's what I did. I went and just touched each person and just prayed in the spirit over them. And that's when God opened up the spiritual realm and allowed me to see the angels going in and ministering to each one, touching them, ministering life to them. You know, those angels can do that kind of stuff, and they do it. They do it all the time. I've had enough encounters with them, and people have had encounters that they're here ministering to us, for us. That's what they're here for. They're deacons. As the Bible says, they're deacons. Diaconion or something like that, they call them in the Greek. But that's deacon in English. They're deacons. They're servants here for us. They're serving us. So God wanted to minister to the people, so he used his angels. He used me, and he used his angels. But see, I expected God to do something. I just expected it. And I said, you're big enough to touch every person. I don't know everything that's going on with everybody, but you do, God. And you can impart whatever is necessary. And so he did. Praise God. So you need to fill your heart with faith or it will hinder your hearing. And if your heart is not right, you're not going to hear from God. And that's another thing is very, very important. You'll not hear from God if your heart is not right. Let's build our faith a little bit. Let's look into the Bible, a couple people that maybe God spoke to. Let's see how God spoke and what he said. So let's go over, first of all, to Adam and Eve. Let's go to Genesis 2:16. Here we see Adam. God created him, and he walked in the garden with God. 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. And then he go on and he tells him other things. And here you see that God is being very specific with Adam. He's talking to him. And then you go on and see that the next chapter that God actually walked in the garden with him and talked with him. I mean, that was normal for God to... Adam was so spiritual that he can actually see God and converse with him. Do you know, to realize the more you walk or be led by the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, you'll be able to see these encounters? The more you walk in the Spirit. We are spirit people with a flesh body that hinders us. That's why the Lord said, die daily to this flesh. Don't let it control you. Because if you walk by the flesh, you will surely die too. You're dying as you walk to the flesh, because the flesh only has one thing in mind, and that's to have fun on this earth and to fulfill its lustful desires. This is what, whether it's eating, whether it's sex, whether it's whatever, it wants to fulfill what feels good. But the Spirit, when you're led by the Spirit, you don't let your flesh dictate to you. If you get that place where you can walk in the Spirit, then you're going to see into the Spirit, because you're walking in the Spirit. So you'll see the spirits. You'll see what's happening. And that is where we need to be. Or if you don't see, you sense it. It's a sensing where you can hear them. You can smell them. I've smelled into the spirit realm. Has anybody ever smelled the aroma of the Lord? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you ever smelled demons, what they smell like? Mm-hmm. I've smelled them. They smell, one of them smelled like a cesspool. I thought my bathroom was, when I walked in, and I knew that there was a demonic power in there because, yeah, it was. There was nothing wrong with the toilet. I'm going around smelling the toilet, smelling the bathtub, the sinks. Nothing was coming out, so I knew. So I commanded the demon to leave, and it left. Immediately, the smell was gone. And it was interesting. I was sitting in my praying in my room or reading the Word or something, and all of a sudden, into my office, comes the smell of sulfur. All of a sudden, I could smell the aroma just kind of coming into the room, and I realized that was a demonic power, because not only did I smell it, but I sensed something evil, and I commanded it to leave, and I just disappeared as quickly as it came. And so I know that demons smell like cesspools and sulfur. Anybody else had a different smell? I don't know. So we need to get our spiritual senses. We need to, you know. Anyway, so now let's go over to chapter 6 in Genesis. Noah, listen here in between 12 and 22. God is giving specific things to Noah. Specific things. He's telling him specific things. Like how to build the ark. How big? It shall be, in verse 15, 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And windows, he's talking about windows, and put pitch on the inside and the outside. He is giving specific things, telling Noah what to do. Do you think that if he can be that specific in telling Noah how to build this ark, he could be specific in telling you whether to buy this stock, not to buy this stock, do this job, don't take that job, it's time to move, don't move? That is where we need to be. We need to have such a relationship, a one-on-one, face-to-face, like Moses did, a relationship with God, that he can tell us. But if you noticed, verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. What does that tell you? Once God spoke to him and he told him what to do, what did Noah do? He obeyed. See? A lot of people think they think they're going to just hear God and then not do anything. You know what? That will hinder your hearing. That will hinder your hearing. So God doesn't hear. You see, he didn't speak in vague impressions. He gave specific measurements. And so God will do that to do. And how about Abraham? Go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. Now, here it says, I will show you. That talks about giving revelation, doesn't it? I'm going to give you revelation on what's going to happen here. And he says, I will make you a great nation. What's that? He's going to make him rich. He says, I will bless you. And I'll make your name great. So he'll also make his name great. And you shall be a blessing. That means he's going to reward your friends. Okay? And he says, and I will curse them that curse you. Now, that means that he's going to rebuke your enemies. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, go to verse 4. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him. So, as soon as God spoke to these people, they obeyed, didn't they? That's part of hearing. God is not going to tell you something when he knows you're not going to listen to him anyway. Why should he bother? I mean, think about it. We have to obey. Every time we obey, when we think we heard the voice of God, you say, well, Ginny, I don't know if it was the voice of God. It could have been me. Well, if it's a good thing, so what? Just do it. If it was you, hey, somebody was blessed anyway, in spite of it. But suppose it was God. Suppose it was God and you say, well, I think it was me, even though it was a good thing, I'm not going to do it. And it was God. That means you just disobeyed. I'd rather be obeying in a good thing, whether I think it's God or is it me, and 100% catching God. Now, maybe 5 or 6 or 10% it was me, but that's okay. I still did a good thing. And God knows I was trying to obey him. He looks into the heart. He says, oh, God, I thought that was you, and I wanted to do what's right. And so God sees that. And he'll continue. He'll be specific. He'll make sure you know his voice. If you're that desiring to be obedient to what he tells you, a lot of times God tells us little things. It's like, you know, go over and hug that person. They need a hug today. And you have dismissed it. Well, I don't know her real well, so I'm not going to go hug her. You know what? You just disobeyed God. How can he give you big things to do and tell you big things to do if you can't obey him in the little things? Remember, as you do the little things, the Bible says he'll give you more. If you're entrusted with a little and you learn to be trustworthy in that little, he'll give you more. It's the same with the Word of God. If you are trustworthy with the little bit that you're hearing his voice and obeying it, he'll increase that. He'll increase the hearing and the speaking. In the two-way conversation, it only increases as you obey. You know, that was one of the keys. You need obedience is the key. Do you know none of those people in the Old Testament were born again? And yet, they walk close enough with God, they can hear him. Do you know that even the devil heard God? If the devil can hear God, we should be able to hear God. We're his sheep. But the devil heard God. He said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. I'm going to crush your head, buddy. And he heard it, and then he did. And so, but if the devil can hear, we can hear. And you say, well, the devil's spiritual. He's a spirit being. He can hear. Well, guess what? So are we. And as we walk in the spiritual beings that we are, we can hear. That's how you know what's going out into the spirit realm. We are spirit beings. Oh, we're entrapped in this physical body, but in a way we're not entrapped. Not when we become born again. We're not entrapped in it anymore. We can die to it and walk in the spirit on a regular basis. The whole goal is to walk in the spirit all the time. Jesus did that, I think. He was so in tune to the spirit that he obeyed all the time. He did nothing unless he saw his Father doing it. He heard his Father doing it. I want to take you to some of those scriptures. And God is I call him our air traffic controller or our commander in chief. And when God tells you to stop doing something, because that a lot of times that's the first way he speaks. We'll talk about this later on, but he'll tell you, stop. You'll hear this word stop, or you'll get that impression, oh, I shouldn't do that. And you disobey, you're going to clog up your ears from hearing God. It's like putting wax in your ears, because that's what you're doing. When God says stop, you're going like, mm-mm, I didn't hear that. You're putting wax in your ears to hear God. And when it's important and it's crucial and it's critical in your life, you're not going to hear him speak. And then you're going to say, what happened? I thought God would take care of me. He's a good God. They're like, hey, you did it to yourself. You're the one who put the wax in your ear so you couldn't hear him saying, don't go that way. Right? But anyway, the same way he speaks about those unrighteous things, he speaks about righteous things. The same way he tells you, don't do that, he's telling you to do something too. Same way. Go to John 5. You know what? The reason Abraham was able to hear God in crucial times is because he'd been hearing and obeying all along. John chapter 5. I'm going to take you to a little bit about Jesus. John 5. The intentions were right. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus claimed that he could do nothing of himself. He was total obedience, which is very hard in this generation we need to be taught servanthood. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So he judges as he hears his Father judge. Now go over to 7:16. 7:16, and Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Now, his teaching is not his, but the Father's. Okay? That's teaching doctrine. Okay? Now go to 8:28. Then said Jesus to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Now, you see there, he only speaks the words of the Father. Okay? Now go to John 14:10. Believe you not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. So not Jesus' works, but the Father's works. Did you see that? How he's humbling himself in total obedience. He's only doing the works of the Father. He's only speaking what he hears the Father. He's only teaching the Father's doctrine. Now go over to 14:31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here. So now we see here what the Father commands Jesus did. And so Jesus presented himself as a bond slave to the Father. And we've talked about that in those other courses and those other classes. But he fulfilled out of love an unbroken communion and a fellowship with his Father. He was so close that he knew he could hear, he could speak, he knew the teachings, he knew the doctrines. He did everything that God commanded him to do, his Father commanded him to do. He always obeyed, and that's how it should be with us. We need to know that. We need to hear the Father and obey him constantly. If you don't obey him in the little things, why should he even talk to you about other things? You wouldn't listen anyway. You wouldn't obey. So I'm going to ask you, what's your track record? Has God told you this week to do something and you said, no, I don't feel like doing that, or I don't have time? But you knew in your heart you should call that person, or you should do that thing, or you know you have commitments and you didn't God says, you know, be a person of your word, but you didn't do it, you know, you didn't care, that's no big deal. We need to be accountable. When we say we're going to do something, we should do it. God says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. He's speaking to us right there, isn't he? So when you say you're going to do something, do it. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. I don't care if you're tired. I only got about 3 hours of sleep last night. I could have gotten up. My flesh wanted to say, stay in bed. And I'd have said, yeah, they'll fill somebody else in. But no, I gave a commitment. I said, I'd be here, and I'd be here. I've been here when I've not been feeling good. You know, just starting the series, I've had major attacks. Pains that have come on me, and witchcraft, that I already know is witchcraft, and I had to come against those to keep me from doing this series. Because this is a series that the devil does not want you to know how to hear God's voice. Trust me on that one. He does not want you to hear his voice. So Jesus' power to perform, let me talk a little bit about this here. Jesus speaks the words of God and does all these things not out of his deity. Do you know that? He did it by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit rested on him without measure. He had the Holy Spirit without, in other words, he knew how to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit in him in order to do all the works that he did. And guess what? And to hear the Father's voice and do all the miracles. You know what? The same Holy Spirit resides in us too, that resided in Jesus. He laid apart his deity. He laid apart his deity. He walked as a man. He did not pull these miracles from his deity. He pulled it from the Spirit of the Holy Spirit within him, like we have, listening and obeying the Father. And it's really important. It was the ministry of the Holy Spirit that gives you divine power. And that Holy Spirit is resident, and he's talking to you. He's telling us things, guys. He's telling us what to do, where to go, who to see, where to invest our money. And we aren't hearing it. We miss it. We miss it. And so God, Jesus taught his disciples. Now go to Ephesians 1, 17, 18. This one I think you ought to be prophesying over yourself every single day if you want to hear God's voice. Ephesians 1, 17, 18, and 19. And right there, all the way down to 20. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that's your spiritual eyes, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches, listen to this, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Do you realize here that what this is saying is you have to recognize the inheritance of the mighty power that we possess? We possess power, but we don't know we have that inheritance. And says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, who he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand in the heavenly places. So we have a power here, an inheritance of a mighty power that we possess through Christ that we don't know about, that we need to learn what our inheritance is. And we have to build our faith to believe that. And this is what will happen as you're yielded. As you yield in obedience to God, in Acts 2, you'll preach boldly. Go and check these out later, okay? Acts 4, you'll be courageous and powerful. In Acts 5, you'll face suffering cheerfully and joyfully. Wow, there's joy in suffering. In Acts 7, you'll accept death with forgiveness on your lips. That was Stephen. Remember Stephen? He forgave them. And you also saw the Lord sitting on his throne. His spiritual eyes were open. He was full of the Spirit. The Bible said him and Philip were full of the Spirit. Acts 9, you can raise the dead in Acts 9. In Acts 16, where to go and not to go. See? In Acts 21, what to do and not to do. In Acts 28, to heal the sick. And so here's basically a summary of these last 2 weeks that I've been talking about. Faith, you must believe that he'll speak to you. You have to expect it. You must expect it. Then you must trust him and distrust your own cleverness. Start leaning on him and trusting him to speak to you. You don't ask him enough to speak to us. Start asking him. If you ask, you'll receive. Isn't that what the Word of God says? So God, every day say, my God speaks to me. And there's a scripture that I use that I'm going to just, now that I'm thinking about this, go to. This one is up on my shower. This is, when I started speaking this, I really started hearing God's voice. Isaiah 50, verse 4. This is what I speak. And I personalize it. I put you in there. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakens morning by morning. That's not God wakens. He's always awake. He wakens my ear. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. And so here, I'm telling God that my ear is opened. I'm learning. I'm hearing his voice. I have a learning, an opened ear to learn and hear my Father. And this is what I speak every day. I speak this over myself in the shower. So, and now I'm saying, obey in all areas. Also, be yielded, yield without reserve, and accept everything that he chooses for you. That means dying to yourself, your flesh, and then fellowship. Walk daily with God and let him deliver you from all your worldliness. We have to get rid of all this worldliness. We have to step out of our flesh and step into the Spirit. I remember Victor told me once, he goes, at the time I knew I had this prophetic gift, but I just didn't know how to start it out. He says, so what I would physically do is I would just go like this. And he goes, by faith, I stepped out of my flesh and stepped into the Spirit, and then I ministered to people. It's time for us to step out of our flesh and step into the Spirit and listen to what God is saying. He's been talking. So this is your assignment this week. I want you to start asking the Lord, first of all, let me hear your voice this week, and I will obey. And you are to obey what he tells you. And I want to hear, before we start next week, I want to hear testimonies. You all were asking me to do one on the voice of God, hearing the voice of God. And I just felt it wasn't the right time, so I didn't do it. But now I felt it was the right time. And I said, well, God, I believe this is the right time. Is it? And I believe he told me yes. I felt a strong impression in my heart. And I said, God, could you confirm this? That next week, would not believe how many things came across my eyes. The voice of God. The voice of God. I would get these devotions on the email saying, hearing the voice of God. And I mean, it was amazing. I would hear something in the radio or somebody was saying something about hearing the voice of God. I mean, like, the voice of God, a piece of paper that would come across my desk was the voice of God. I'm thinking, I get the point. It was you. Okay. So what he will do is he will confirm what he said to you. And I knew that that was him. So because I started doing this, the teachings on it and started looking some stuff up. And out of all these weird places, all this stuff came coming in. So I said, okay, time's right. I got your confirmation. And so that's why I'm here teaching it now. So God wants you to hear his voice, but you have to obey. If you don't obey, you're going to get those long spans. You don't want to get, the minute you obey, you get short spans. Oh, okay, they obeyed. I'll talk to them again. And that's how you're going to increase your awareness of God in your life. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, God, that they're raising up their faith level. Father, through this, they're going to have expectations of the miraculous, of seeing into the spirit realm, of hearing your voice, of seeing the miraculous, expecting the miraculous to work through them more so than they ever have before. Father, I believe that their faith has been raised this day to believe you. And Father, they're going to act on that. They're going to obey. These two things are so important, to have faith and expectation and to obey. And I thank you, Lord God, that they're going to be quick to obey. And you're going to be quick to speak to them again. In Jesus' name, amen.